Turn back to Matthew chapter 25. What our Lord is dealing with here is still His second coming. You remember back, what was it, chapter 24? They said, when shall these things be? 23, when shall these things be? When he's talking about the destruction of the temple. And his second coming. And they wanted to know, when shall all this be? When's all this going to happen? Over in Luke 19, we have this parable. And it is said, they thought that the kingdom was going to be set up immediately. And so the Lord gives this parable, as he did the parable of the 10 virgins we looked at last week. And this parable here is still dealing with the visible church on earth. It's like the visible church here. The visible, those who believe the gospel. And that's what it's dealing with. And it's and what he's going to say here and teach us here, and this is, I can't tell you how sobering this parable is. Because he's going to teach us, just like he did about the 10 virgins. There was 5 wise and 5 foolish. And really, it comes down to this, that not all who make a profession, who confess, not all really possess Christ. Not all really possess saving faith. Not all of them. And as I studied this, I thought, boy, this is a sobering message, parable. But I tell you what, our Lord, He didn't sugarcoat anything, did He? He spoke the truth. And I tell you, there's nothing more that I want given to me and that I want to give to you is the truth. Tell me the truth, no matter how much it hurts. Tell me the truth. And that's what our Lord does. And what we had in the 10 virgins that we looked at a week ago, we had the lesson of vigilance. The Lord was teaching vigilance. Be ready, watchful, watchful. In this parable of the talents, it's about diligence. Be about our Father's business until He comes. We're not to just stand and look out the window and sit idly by and wait until He comes. We're to be about our Father's business. You know, it says over in Luke 19:13 concerning this parable, it says, He called His 10 servants and delivered unto them 10 pounds, which here is called talents. And He said unto them, occupy till I come. Trade, be busy with what I've given you till I come. Now here in the verse 14, this man traveling over in Luke 19 is called the nobleman. And it says he's going away into a far country to receive a kingdom and then come back. And this traveling man here is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's risen and gone back to heaven. He is seated at God's right hand. And he's receiving a kingdom. As the ages go by, all of those subjects for whom he died are being brought into his kingdom as he saves them. And this man is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he calls his own servants. Notice here in verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants. These are the ones who have made a profession. These are the ones who have confessed Christ, they've been baptized, and they claim to be His. And so he says he calls his own servants and delivered unto them his goods, not just goods, his. Everything belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we are going to look at we looked at Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, and they who dwell therein, all are His. Nothing's mine, really. Of this material things. It all belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now it says in verse 15. or we see in verse 15. We see our Lord's sovereignty. We see our Lord's sovereignty here. He gives as he will to whom he will. He calls his servants and he gives them the talents. And all the goods are his. He gives, and we know this, he gives as best serves his glory in the good of his church. A trust is committed unto them. But anyway here, what our Lord does here, in giving them these talents, a trust is committed to them. And he says in verse 15, unto one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one, to every man according to his several abilities. In other words, according to the abilities that person has, that God has enabled him to have. And straightway he took his journey. He took off and he left. He goes into this far country, which is our Lord risen and gone back to glory. And what are these five talents? And what are these two talents? And what's this one talent? Here's what J.C. Ryle said, and I agree with this. I don't think he's speaking here so much of the ministry as a gift that I have, like in preaching the gospel. And that may be included in it. But here it is, and I think this is it. But anything whereby we may glorify God is a talent. Anything that God's given you, put into your hands. It's not just talking about me as a preacher. This is talking about everyone here who has confessed Christ. Everything that you have that God's given you is a talent. Our gifts, our influence, our money, our knowledge, our health, our strength, our time, our senses, our reason, our intellect, our memory, our affections, our privileges as members of Christ's church, these are advantages. And these are to be used for the glory of God. Everything he's given to us, everything you have, you who have confessed Christ, everything you have, everything I have is to be used to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Our advantages as possessors of the Bible, these all are our talents. You know, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, what do you have that you didn't receive? Everything we have, our intelligence. The level of our intelligence has been given to us. Everything we have, our homes and property, whatever it is. We know that all things come of God. But all those who confess Christ, everything they have is of God and is to be used for his glory. Then he says here in verse 16, now, then he that had received the five talents, he went and traded with the same. He didn't add to it. You notice that? He didn't add to it. It's not like I take a little of the money he gave me and then I take my money. No, my money's his money. Everything I have is his. That's why it says here, he likewise, and he received the two talents, he went and he traded with the same. The five and the two, they traded with the same talents that they were given. There was nothing added to it. And if you'll notice here, the ones who used what their Lord gave them increased. As I said to you earlier, whatever we do in the name of Christ, for the glory of Christ, whatever we do with the right heart towards his glory, increases. It's always gain. It's always gain. You say, well, if I give this, I don't have that much. I don't have enough. Henry said one time, you can't afford not to give. If you had 2 pennies, if you had $2, it all belongs to him. He said, you can't afford not to give unto the Lord. And here it says they doubled. In other words, it wasn't just a get 10% back. It just doubled. Has God not doubled his blessings to you and me? I can look back over 64 years and I can say the Lord has doubled. He's doubled all that he's blessed me. She has received, what does it say in Isaiah? She has received double from the Lord She's received double from the Lord. Our labor in the kingdom of God is never never in vain. Now, I do know this. I know false religion abuses this. But now keep it in its proper place. God blesses. God blesses. No one, no child of God, and I'm not using this in this the way false religion uses it, but you cannot outgive God. You can't do it. You can't outdo Him. When God gives us what we have, they'll be used for His glory, and He will bless. I'm telling you, He tells us right here, He will bless. And then we come to this wicked servant. Verse 18, but he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. See, the first two, the one that received five, the one that received two, immediately, they went and took what their Lord had given and they put it to use. They did so too because they loved him. They loved their master. This one didn't. You'll see this. This one didn't. He digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. This is the man. Now listen, this is the man who made a profession. He's like Simon Magus. He was baptized, made a profession. And Peter said to Simon Magus, your heart's not right with God. When he tried to buy the gifts of the Holy Spirit, he said, your heart's not right with God. Your money perish. You perish with your money. And this is that wicked servant. He's a man who's just made a profession. And it's evident this servant was not, he was given a talent, but he had no respect. He had no respect for his Lord and what he was given. He had no respect for him whatsoever. He's like Esau, who despised his birthright. Remember, Esau despised his birthright, and when he wanted a morsel of a bowl of soup, and he said, what's this birthright going to do me? If I die, what good's this birthright? And he just, you know, let Jacob have it. This is this professor here. And I think also he was probably jealous of the other two who were given more. When God blesses his children, if God blesses you, that ought to make me happy. If God gives you a better job than I have, that ought to make me happy. Really. It ought to make me. When God blesses any of his children, the other children should be happy. Should be. And I think this man, he has one talent. The other one had five. That's, you know, that's more to work with. I think he was jealous. I think his thought was, one measly talent. What can I do with one talent? What can you buy with a penny? I think that was part of his attitude. And here's another thing he did. This man ignored all opportunities to serve Christ. Instead, he served himself. Let's say he had a good job. That falls into this talent. He took what he made at that job and he spent it on himself. Everything he had, he spent it on himself. He hid the one talent in the earth. In this cursed earth, he hid that one talent. He had no interest in doing anything with it. Here's what he had. He has an interest in not going to hell, but he has no interest in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what salvation is. It's a real interest in the Son of God. It's a real relationship with God in Christ. He had no real interest in it. And he buried it because he had better things to do. He had better things to do. No real interest in the Lord. We find these, and this is what the Lord's teaching. We find these in every true local church. There's a Simon Magus. There's a Demas. Remember this. Remember at one time Paul recommended Demas. He recommended him. And then later on he wrote this, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Well, a day of reckoning comes. Our Lord teaching this, that there is a day of reckoning. And he says here in verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. It may seem like a long time, but Christ will return. And when he does, he says here he's going to call all his servants, all those who, and this has to do with all those who confess him. They're going to give account for what they've been given. Now let's notice something here, verse 20 and 23. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. These talents that I have, you gave me. I didn't come up with them. You gave me. This is the language of grace. Here's the language of grace, always, always. Lord, you gave this to me. You gave this. Remember, we'll see in the latter part of this verse, Lord willing, next week, I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat, naked, and you clothed me. And the church said, when did we ever see you hungry and naked in prison and sick? You know, grace, when it is experienced in the heart, never sees its works as the Lord sees them. The Lord said, thou good and faithful servant. I don't think any believer here is going to go around popping their suspenders saying, I am a good and faithful servant. Do you know that? Let me tell you about it. No, it's like like over in the latter part of this chapter. When did we ever see you sick and hungry and fed you? And he said, as much as you did it unto the least of me, of these my brethren, you did it to me. Well, this wicked servant, the one with the one talent, he never opened his home up. He was never gracious to anybody else. He never helped anybody. You know, over the years, I've traveled a lot before I came here as a pastor. I traveled a lot. I stayed in a lot of homes. I've stayed in a lot of homes across this country. There have been a lot of homes opened up to me, and people fed me and took care of me, and just, I mean, you'd think I was royalty. Well, I am the king's son, if you look at it that way. And that's the way they took care of me. They took care of me like that. But this man, he was never hospitable. You know, the scripture teaches us over in the epistles to show hospitality, doesn't it? To show hospitality. He said, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents, and behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And like I said, there's always gain in the service of Christ. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want you to notice what he commends here. Faithfulness. That's the one thing that will separate the sheep from the goats. It's faithfulness. Faithfulness to being kind, to loving. Faithfulness to being here and worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful. Faithfulness identifies God's people. It identifies his true servants. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. You notice how the Lord here, the things that we have to be faithful over are really just few things, aren't they? When you consider the greatness of God's creation, and you consider all of that, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. What little bit I have, what I have been given, I am to be faithful with. I've been entrusted with it. Paul said that God had entrusted him with the gospel. I've been entrusted with the gospel. Stand here week after week and preach the gospel to you. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. And here's the reward. Here, if you want to call it that. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. No, it's not a bigger house up on the hill. It's joy. Enter into the joy of your Lord. You know what real joy is? Is being with the Lord Jesus Christ. is knowing him, fellowship with him. That's real joy. And he also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, it's like he's surprised. He's like surprised. He's not bragging. Now, these two guys aren't bragging. They're just like, look what has happened. I've used what you've given me. And it's doubled. It's doubled. You know, you give me a talent. I knew a man years ago, 20 years ago. Wealthy man. This man was wealthy. And he retired and he came back out of retirement. And he said to me one day after he came back out of retirement, and I'd never heard anybody say this before or since, but he said to me, he said, you know, God has given me a gift of making money. He said, I just don't feel like it's right to lay that gift down. I'm telling you, this man used that money. He helped people, a lot of people, a lot of God's children he helped. He helped heavily support missionaries. He helped people that didn't believe anything. I know some people he helped. He bought one man a car. He was just poor. I mean, the man was just poor. He felt for him and bought him a vehicle. He used these talents. He used what God gave him and was a blessing. And it just, the man could spit and it turned into $100 would hit the ground. I'm telling you, he had a gift to make money. And God gave him a heart to use it. And that's what these two men represent. These two men represent those born of God. These two are believers. They are genuine believers. And they've taken whatever they have, whether it be the jobs that they have, the property they have, the vehicle they have, the house they have, and they've used it for God's glory along the way. And he says here, behold, whoa, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. He calls him, you know why he calls him good? Because in Christ he is. In Christ, outside of Christ, there's none good, no, not one. In Christ, you're holy. In Christ, you are righteous. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. That's all we're to be, faithful over what God's given us. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Same thing. The joy of the Lord. Enter into the joy of the Lord. The same one that had 5 and the one that had 2, they got the same thing. Joy. God said to Abraham, Abraham, I am thy exceeding great reward. Now, if you're looking for rewards in heaven, you're going to be disappointed. But if you're looking for that one great reward, which is God himself, you'll not be disappointed. Now I want you to notice something here. The first one given the most talents was the one first reckoned with. Scripture says, to whom much is given, much is required. He's called on first. And both of these two servants give ownership of the talents to their Lord. You gave these to me. He didn't say, look here, I took what was mine, look what I've done for you with it. No. I took what was yours, and look what you've done with it. And as I said, we know that any gain, any work done in the kingdom of God is gain. Listen to this, 1 Corinthians 3:7. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. If it's doubled, if it's tripled, if the Lord has blessed me, God gave the increase. God gave it. And the Lord here, their Lord, recognizes them as good and faithful servants. First of all, the good part I've already mentioned, but Christ's perfect obedience, we got to start here. Christ's perfect obedience is my perfect obedience. That's my righteousness. His obedience is my righteousness. We have to understand that first. Secondly, all good works is done by the Spirit of God working in us. Listen to Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. Listen to Isaiah 26:12. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us. Now listen. For thou also hast wrought all our works in us. It's the Spirit of God working in us. And every child of God here will hear their Lord say, our Lord, enter in, thou good and faithful servant. These two right here represent all sinners saved by grace. And they acknowledge that what they have, they've been given, and the Lord is blessed. He's the one who's given the increase. Now comes the wicked servant. In verse 24, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, he calls him the same. He acknowledged him to be Lord. I knew thee, that thou art a hard man. You're harsh, austere, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. Let me ask you something. Is that the way you see God? I see God, and you see God. Every child of God here sees God as loving Father, merciful, gracious, kind, long-suffering. That's how we see God. But this one, this is the reason he made his profession. He made a profession out of a wrong fear. He made a profession out of fear of hell, fire, and brimstone. I sat under that when I was a young kid growing up. You know, just this hell, fire, and brimstone preaching. You know what the scripture says it is that leads a man to repentance? The Word of God says it's the goodness of God. It's the goodness of God. It's not the preaching of hell. It's the preaching of Jesus Christ dying as a substitute. That's what leads to repentance. The Scripture says they will mourn when they look on him whom they've pierced. It's not they will mourn when they see a film called Burning Hell. They ought to hang those guys that show that. When you dupe children into making a profession because you scared them out of their wits, Christ said what? If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. Not if you scare them to death. You cannot scare anybody into salvation. But God by his goodness can sure lead him into it. He can sure bring him into it. When we see the mercy of God, the grace of God, the kindness of God in the face of Jesus Christ, that'll break your heart. That'll break your heart. What a harsh view he had of his master. Religion without the inward work of grace leaves a man hard. It leaves a man with hard views of God. Over in Ezekiel 18:25, it says this. The Lord says, yet you say the way of the Lord is not fair. It's not fair. Hear now, O house of Israel, is my way not fair? Are your ways not fair? You're the one that's not fair. This servant made a profession. He was baptized. He joined the church. But he knew nothing of faith, hope, and love in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he went out and he spent all his living on himself. And when the opportunity came along for him to be a blessing, he checked out. You know, I think of that. When I was looking at this last night, I was thinking of that rich man. Remember that rich man that went to hell? Lazarus, poor Lazarus, laying at the rich man's gate, the dogs licking his sores. What an opportunity that man had to be a blessing. And I guarantee you he complained every day. I can't believe that man laid at my gate again. God laid him there. You know, God on purpose brings opportunities by. Pray that God give us the wisdom to recognize his hand in it and give us the heart to meet the opportunity. Pray that the preparation of grace in the heart meets the opportunity that God brings our way to be a blessing. This servant made a profession, baptized, joined the church, but knew nothing of faith, hope, and love. And there's one scripture that fits this man. It's over in the book of James. Faith without works is dead, being alone. We are never, ever, ever, ever saved by our works. But works are the evidence of the work of grace going on in the heart. It's evidence of it. And he says here, I was afraid. I was afraid. You know, Scripture says this, perfect love casts out fear. He never loved his master. And now he's coming back, and he knows. He knows he's in trouble. I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Adam, Adam, where are you? What did he say? I heard your voice and I was afraid. For the first time, Adam had hard views of God. Before that, he never. No child of God in this room has a hard view of God. You don't have a hard view of God at all. You know that God is merciful and kind in Christ. And you've experienced it. This man, he was afraid. He said, here, I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. He took care of his own interest in his lifetime, throughout his life. Now he's come time to die. It's come time to die. Reckoning. And he realizes he spent his whole time on himself. Now let me say this. There's a right fear of God that comes from a reverence and an awe of that's born of God in the new creation. You have a real right reverence and respect and a right fear of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There's a right fear of God. It's awe and respect. It's like the fear a child has to its parents. It's not a slavish fear. It's not a fear of punishment. But this man had a fear of punishment. He said, you're a hard man. And I was afraid if I used it, lost it, I'd be in trouble. I'm sure he had a lot of excuses here. And there, hid in the earth, you have your talent. I didn't lose it. I didn't do anything with it. I didn't lose it. It's still yours. Trying to commend himself. Here he is trying to commend himself. And now, I want you to notice here how this servant is identified by the Lord. He says, thou wicked and slothful, you lazy servant. The first two he called good and faithful. This one he's lazy. He's wicked. His Lord answered him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Thou knewest, or it is you confess. You're confessing with your own mouth that I reap where I sow not and gather where I straw not. This was excuse for being negligent and lazy. We have no excuse. He blamed his master for being too hard. I want you to know this and understand this. God deals with men and women, on the grounds they come to him. If you come to him on the grounds of mercy, forgiveness, if you come to him on the grounds of the Lord Jesus Christ, his blood and righteousness, God has saved you. If you're like that rich young ruler, remember he came and said, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, the Lord met him on the grounds he came on. What must I do? Well, keep the commandments. He said, which one? All of them. All of them. And what did he do? He went away sorrowful. He was rich, and the Lord said, well, go sell all you have and give it to the poor and come back and follow me. He didn't realize the covetousness that was in his heart was breaking the law. Thou shalt not covet. I tell you what, he come to him on the grounds of mercy. Come to him on the grounds of as a needy sinner. I tell you what, God save you. But this one came to him on the grounds that you're hard, you're mean. He said, well, if that's the way you want to deal with me, that's what you're going to get. Because outside of Christ, Jesus, God is a consuming fire. He is a consuming fire. He says, thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, bankers, and then at my coming I could have received mine own with usury. You ought to have. Here's what you ought to have done. You ought to have given it to those who could have done something with it. He knew that. He knew that. He's a slothful servant. And the Lord says, and I'll close, take away the talent and give it to one with the 10 talents. Take therefore the talent from him. This shows it was not special grace. This shows that he did not have faith, because God doesn't take faith away from where he gives it. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. As God granted you faith and repentance, he will not take that back. He didn't take away the special grace which was intended to be used in these talents that was given. But he says here in verse 29, for unto everyone that hath shall be given. Do you have grace? If God is giving you grace, you know what's going to happen? He's going to give you more grace. He's going to give you more grace. More of the spiritual blessings. More of love and faith and hope. And that's just going to grow. But to those who have not, they pretend to have, but they have not, they don't have it. He's going to take away what they have. They're going to lose everything. They're going to lose their life. And he says here, this is how I know this man was lost. It was just a false profession. He said, cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This man was never saved. Now there's one thing I want to say about a parable. Don't try to make a parable stand on all four legs. Henry has told us that many times over the years back at home. A parable is meant to convey a story that gives a heavenly truth. And he's not saying here, and some have tried to build a doctrine on you can be saved and lost. Saved and lost. No. No, you can't. This man never had it. He was a hypocrite. He never had it. And his life proved it. His life proved it. This wicked servant is no more than a hypocrite dressed in sheep's clothing. He talks about the gospel of grace, but has not the work of grace in his soul. But those that do, he says to them, enter in, thou good and faithful. Every child of God in this room will hear him say, enter in, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. And we'll see, Lord willing, next time we finish, when we finish this chapter, we'll see the final separation at his coming. All right.